Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. If you were asked what would it take to encourage you the most in your life, what would you say? We have now entered into that time of the year where we have the long dark nights and the short days. There will be a lot of gray, dreary days. It's a time when disappointments and frustrations in our lives seem to come to the surface. Perhaps that's because it is a time in which we do more reflective thinking and focus on our problems. It's oftentimes a period in which people need to see some light at the end of the tunnel, a time in which people need to be encouraged. When I think about this, sometimes I think about the events of the past that have occurred, and this can be very discouraging. But then I realize I cannot change the past. I can learn from the past. I can repent of the past, but I cannot make that which is crooked straight. I have a saying that goes like this: what is, and what isn't, isn't, and I must deal with what is, or I let what is defeat me and give up. Many of the things of the past that I would like to correct and make straight are not my doing. I am just grieved by them. Perhaps you are in the same boat. That is, many of the things that are pulling you down, causing you to be discouraged, are not your fault. But that does not change what is. Crying over spilled milk will not put the milk back in the bucket, or wallowing in the pity pits will not change anything. One thing we must be careful to realize is that oftentimes our grief over past events has to do with how they affect us personally. Perhaps what another person did has cost you dearly. We can easily become so concerned with the burden that their mistake placed on us that we forget the burden that was placed on them. One of Satan's principal strategies is to have you to become obsessively concerned with yourself. Satan is obsessively concerned with himself to the point that his focus is on deceiving the world into worshiping him instead of worshiping and trusting God. When we think of encouragement, we generally think of how someone else can encourage us. If so and so would do just such and such, then I would be encouraged. But so-and-so never does such-and-such, and thus I am never encouraged. What a pitiful trap to fall into. And I would hasten to add that just about everyone has fallen into that trap at one time or another. The old saying goes something like this: give a man a fish, and he will envy you. Teach a man to fish, and he will love you. Can you learn how to encourage yourself? Believe it or not, the principal way you can be encouraged is by helping others. Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and love is expressed through outgoing concern for others. Sharing one another's burdens fulfills the royal law of Christ. As the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The two great commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As you can see, that love is away from self, the love of God, and also the love of neighbor. But it does say to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you cannot get out of the pity pits, if you cannot get relief from being obsessively concerned with self, it is very difficult to extend your love toward anyone else. And also, it is very difficult for you to really understand what God would have us to do with our lives. One of the things that people oftentimes do is to withdraw from the arena of life, as it were, and they close down their minds, they go into states of depression. But if you withdraw from the arena of life and you do not fight the good fight of faith, no one can help you. One of the first things to steps necessary for being encouraged is to come to truly understand that you cannot change the past. Before we can truly learn to serve others and thus be encouraged, we must learn to let others serve and help us. So we cannot close the doors and the windows of our lives, as it were. We have to be open for others to help us. And of course, we have to admit that we have a problem and that we need help. If we refuse others this opportunity, then we're robbing them of their joy and opportunity for encouragement. So one of the great tragedies of our current culture and the spirit of the times is that we think that life should always be filled with fun, feasting, and frivolity. So-called hard times, bad times, and trials will not sell much toothpaste or Toyota pickups. So the commercials focus on fun, feasting, and frivolity. Trials and testing, though, provide us with the opportunity to show God and Christ and to show others that we understand what life is all about, that we know that through trials and testing, we can be refined and made into the very image of Jesus Christ. Note the wisdom of Solomon in this regard. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 7:3, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better." And the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Yes, when we respond properly to trials and testing, it provides a great example to those round about us, and also it shows God and Christ that we will be faithful. Understanding how to deal with trials and testing is one of the things that separates those who are emotionally and spiritually mature from the pretenders. So what we're talking about here has to do with real spiritual understanding, spiritual maturity, and spiritual growth. One can be greatly encouraged in the face of great trials if they really understand what this life is all about. Do you really understand what this life is all about? Do you know the answers to what I think are the six greatest questions of all time? And those questions are, who is God? What is God? What is his purpose? And the corollary to that, who is man? What is man? And what is his purpose? So in short, what is God's purpose? And why were you born? Do you know the answers to those questions? See, God is a loving father, and his desire is to bring sons and daughters into his family as glorious, radiant spirit beings in the kingdom of God. One of the things that I have tended to think is, why did God let this happen to me? He could have prevented it, but then I think this is an opportunity to show that I indeed know what it means to live by faith, that I know what life is all about, and that I do understand God's purpose that he's working out here below, that we were born for a great transcendental purpose. In approaching the trial in this way, I am encouraged, and Satan is defeated. When we resist the temptation to wallow in the pity pits, Satan and discouragement will flee from us. We usually pray for immediate release from a trial and ask God to make things right overnight. But God may be working out something far greater in our lives as we go through our trials. Now, this reminds me of the poem titled, "I Ask God." I ask God to take my pain away. God said, "No, it is not for me to take away, but for you to give up." And oftentimes that pain is bitterness and mental anguish, and we hurt from that, and we need to let it go. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no, that her spirit was whole, her body was only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted, it is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. God said no. I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, ah, finally you have the idea. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then we know that if we read and study the Word of God, it will increase our faith and provide encouragement to us. So one of the greatest ways for you to be encouraged is to open the pages of your Bible and read of God's love, care, and concern for you. It will increase your faith. Do you remember the story of the three Hebrew children when they were faced with a fiery furnace? Their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A bit of the background here is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had made a great image, and he had requested that when certain music was played, that everyone would bow down and worship the image. Of course, the image represented Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship when the music was played, so they were brought before the king. So, they answered the king when he said that they had to do this. He said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So here's an example of really living by faith. They didn't know for sure whether or not God was going to deliver them, but they knew that they were going to be faithful and true to God, that they would not worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, even if it meant being thrown into the fiery furnace. And he threw them into the fiery furnace, and they were delivered. When we live by faith, we can be encouraged all day, every day. I've been constantly encouraged by these words from the book of Lamentations. This is in Lamentations 3 and verse 21. If you're not familiar with this, I would encourage you to read Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah writes here in Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." So now he tells us what he recalls to his mind. So what does the writer really have in mind here? It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And of course, there is a song that has been written titled, Great is Your Faithfulness. The eternal is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Another way we can be encouraged is through prayer. By talking to another person, we are often encouraged just to be able to know that someone else knows that you're alive. So what about talking to God? When we come back from the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the keys to encouragement. If you're in need of encouragement, then you need to call for our free booklet on living faith. You can have living faith. You can know and know that you know that God will deliver you regardless of the situation or the circumstance. One of the things that the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 is to put on the whole armor of God. And in that armor, he tells us that above all things, put on the armor of faith, the shield of faith, whereby you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. How will you be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan? Because through faith, you'll know that you know that you know that no matter what the situation or circumstance is, that you can be encouraged because God always has our best interest at heart, and he will always deliver us if we remain faithful to him. So if you're in need of encouragement, call for this booklet on living faith. And also, we will send you, free of charge, a subscription to the Good News Magazine. The Good News Magazine will help you cope with life in so many different areas, from articles about child rearing, marriage and family, to prophecy and what is going on in the world today and what we can expect in the years that lie ahead. So to receive the free literature, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we mentioned in the first segment of our program, one of the ways that you can be encouraged is through communication, by talking to other people and by talking to God. He tells us in his word to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. He tells us that to come and learn of him, because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. So what about talking with God? The principal ways that you cast your care on him is to pray, to talk to him. Here's what one person writes about what Satan fears most. This was written by Jan McIntosh. What Satan fears most. What Satan fears most is a man on his knees or a woman on her knees. Not vast marching armies with great weaponry. He knows he can stand against the power of men. To engage us in battle is mere sport to him. But a man or a woman on his or her knees, with his head bowed in prayer, is something quite different to the prince of the air. For when he sees us in prayer to our God Most High, he knows we have seen through his devilish lies. That's what Satan fears most, a man on his knees, and we'll keep him trembling if our prayers never cease. People encouraging people, and God encouraging us, communicating with people, communicating with God. Remember the song, "People who need people are the luckiest people in the world." Sometimes just the sight of another person will cause encouragement to well up in our hearts and minds, because there's just something about that person that we can count on them for giving a good word. And of course, that buoys us up, but it also helps the other person. This reminds me also of a poem that was written by Jacqueline Marie Griffiths. It's titled "The Strength of a Man." The strength of a man isn't seen in the width of his shoulders. It's seen in the width of his arms that circle you. The strength of a man isn't in the deep tone of his voice. It's in the gentle words he whispers. The strength of a man isn't how many buddies he has. It's how good a buddy he is with his kids. The strength of a man isn't in how respected he is at work. It's in how respected he is at home. The strength of a man isn't in how hard he hits. It's in how tender he touches. The strength of a man isn't in the hair on his chest. It's in his heart that lies within his chest. The strength of a man isn't how many women he's loved. It's in how he can be true to one woman. The strength of a man isn't in the weight he can lift. It's in the burdens he can carry. So we can see here that true strength comes from the fact that we're willing to sacrifice ourselves, to give up ourselves, and to service others. And by so doing, once again, it's one of the first steps and greatest ways whereby we can be encouraged. Is your life on fire for God and in serving others, or are you being consumed by the fiery trials of life? Thinking that all is lost and your life is being consumed in smoke and flames. This reminds me also of the story that's titled, this little short essay, Is Your Hut Burning? The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed frequently for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. He said, God, how could you do this to me? He cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. How did you know I was here? Asked the weary man of his rescuers. We saw your smoke signal, they replied. So it's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad, but we shouldn't lose heart because God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of pain and suffering. Remember, next time that your little hut is burning to the ground, it just may be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God. For all the negative things we have to say to ourselves, God has a positive answer for it. Listen to this. You say it's impossible. God says all things are possible. You say I'm too tired. God says I will give you rest. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You say nobody really loves me. God says I love you, even to the point that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. You say, I can't do it. God says that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. You say, I'm not able. God says, I am able. You say it's not worth it. God says it will be worth it. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. You say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. I'll remove your sins as far from you as the east is from the west. You say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. You say, I'm afraid. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. You say, I don't have enough faith. God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom, the wisdom from above. You say, I feel all alone. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The choice of whether we're going to wallow in the pits of self-pity or whether or not we're going to look to the hills for strength and encouragement is up to us. No knight in shining armor is going to come along and pull us from the pity pits. But there is one who is coming on a great white horse, who is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Have you ever read Hebrews 7 and verse 25, which says that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us, therefore he is able to save us to the uttermost? So let's get our focus off ourselves and our plight and fight Let's fight the good fight of faith. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take heed? Will you be encouraged? Will you learn how to encourage yourself? Once again, some of the great steps that you can take to be encouraged centers on you serving others. You come to the point that you realize that there are others who are in far more difficult straits than you are in, and that you can do something to make a difference in the lives of other people. Remember the two great commandments that we mentioned in the first segment of the program: to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto that: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you're weighted down by discouragement, if you are in a state of depression, it is very difficult to serve others. But if you will just simply open the pages of your Bible and begin to claim the promises of God, then your world will turn around. If you'll come to understand who God is, what God is, and what is His purpose, it will make all the difference in the world. And to understand who man is, and what is his purpose. You see, the condition of humankind at the present time resides in the fact that human beings have made wrong choices from the Garden of Eden to the present time. People want to blame God for their situation. They want to blame God for their frustrations. They want to blame God for so many things. Yet God has given us the freedom of choice. We are free to choose which way we're going to go. We're not robots. We're not puppets on a string. But God has set before us blessings and cursings. He set before us life and death. And He wants us to voluntarily choose to follow Him. So what are you going to do? Are you going to open the pages of your Bible, the very pages of life, the very words that will lead to life, the very words that will lead to joy and happiness in your life, the very words that will give you comfort regardless of the situation that you're in? You may be in the fiery furnace, and the fiery furnace of trials in this arena of life, and yet you can find great comfort and you can find joy and peace. In fact, you can come to the point that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But one of the great keys, once again, to all of this is to open the pages of your Bible, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more that you store the Word of God in your heart, the better you're going to be able to deal with your problems and your frustrations. Much of what I've said here today can be summarized by Rudyard Kipling's famous poem titled, If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make your thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat these two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've given your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they're gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds run, then you will be a man, my son. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on the program, Living Faith, and a subscription to the Good News Magazine, just call our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy.